It's been a blessed time of the year. This time, towards the end, you know, like Janet was saying, the Christmas time, we're all thinking about the baby Jesus and how Jesus came to this earth. And it's a good time for Christians to be able to set aside some time to concentrate on the birth of our Savior. And, you know, get into all kind of conversations about Christmas. Some will argue, well, it's not really the right time of the year. And it's not. Okay. Others will say it's filled with pagan tradition, which it is. Oh, okay. Even others will say it's too commercialized, and I say amen to that. So you can get caught up into all the things that surround Christmas and forget the true meaning of Christmas. And so today, not to bore you, but I'm going to be going over some things about the birth of Jesus. And, you know, it's not very often, once a year, that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and it comes by so quickly. But I'm going to be showing you a little different aspect on it. So it's a time that we can remember why Jesus came and the joy and the hope that he gives us of his return. Amen? If without the hope of his return, we're most sad and desperate people. Greatly deceived. But we do believe that God is coming back again. It's a time to remember of his love for us. So I want you to turn to John 3:16. Because I think we need to read this. And I'm going to have you read it with me. Because it's as we speak it out that we believe what we're hearing with our ears. Right? So, John 3:16, you ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Isn't it awesome to have a time where we can think about God loved us so much? Just think of a little baby. That little baby is so helpless. But God loved us so much that he decided to come in the form of a baby and let that child grow up in every circumstance just like us and experience all the things that we go through. And yet he did this without sin. I don't know about you, but I have trouble just going one day without making some kind of mistake. But God in his mercy, he's ever loving and watching over us and forgiving us. Because of Jesus, we are righteous. Hallelujah. I've been going over and over that. We're righteous because of Jesus. Because he came to this earth and did what we couldn't do. And because he took all of our sin upon himself. Now, at the birth of Jesus, there were many signs and wonders that occurred. And also throughout his ministry, there were also the ministry of angels, which were part of the signs and wonders. And that's the aspect I'm going to be speaking on today. I've actually titled this Angels on Assignment. Because, you know, this place is filled with angels. Hallelujah. In context, the word signs and wonders would indicate something that is out of the ordinary. Something miraculous. Something that makes you stop, look, and listen. I would say if an angel were to appear here this morning, that we would all stop, look, and listen to whatever they had to say, right? Okay. Sometimes we hesitate to talk about the ministry of angels because we don't want to elevate them above Christ. And our mission is to, you know, speak forth about Christ. In Colossians 2:18, it tells us not to worship angels. And the angels, when they appear, would even tell people, don't worship me. Because, I mean, as soon as you see one, you want to fall on your face. I mean, they're so awesome. But they'll tell you, don't worship me, worship Jesus. So the other thing is we don't pray for angelic visitations. And the reason we wouldn't do that, 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. His purpose is to deceive us. So if we're praying for something like that, I mean, the enemy can't accommodate us. And so we have to be very wise. If God wants to send an angel to us, he's going to be able to do it without us requesting it. Okay? But just to be on the safe side, we sure don't want to be deceived, right? Praise the Lord. Well, with the help of the Lord, we will not be deceived, right? Pray, we'll know the difference. So throughout the Bible, we see that the angels had assignments. In the beginning of time, back at the Garden of Eden, there was an angel that kept the Adam and Eve, I should say, from the tree of life after they sinned. So that was the first thing we see happening there. So we see at the very beginning of time as we know it, this angel had an assignment. And the reason wasn't to punish them. It was to prevent them from taking of this tree of life and live forever in this fallen state. And in all the harm and everything that could go along with it. Can you imagine living forever with, say, cancer and pain? And that's what it was to protect us from. Then at the end of time, we see an angel coming with a key to the bottomless pit. And he had a great big chain in his hand. And this was to get a hold, this is to get a hold of Satan, the devil, and to bind him for 1,000 years. And to cast him into this bottomless pit. And then eventually into the lake of fire. So we see angels all throughout time that we know of. Now I want to show you in one place in the Old Testament that is really good. If you'll turn with me to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. I'm going to be reading quite a bit of scripture, so I hope you're ready to go with me on that. So 2 Kings chapter 6, and to put it all in context, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it goes from verse 8 through 17. But what was happening, the king of Syria was making war against the children of Israel. And every time he tried to do some war strategy, the Israelites would find out about it. So the king was asking, well, who is the one that's leaking this information? And so they told him, well, it's none but Elisha, the prophet. He tells what you say in your bedchamber. You know, he's giving all this information out. So he sends this massive big army out to get one man. A whole big, and they come at night and they surround the whole city. Anyway, I mean, if they got that many to surround the whole city, that's quite something. So we're going to pick it up there in verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, who do you think was driving those chariots? Angels. It had to be. I mean, those chariots wouldn't drive themselves. Not any that I know of. So here we see, even in the Old Testament, these angels would come to protect the man of God. Do you know that even right now, the angels are with us? How many of you know that this place is full? You see that empty chair next to you? Could be an angel sitting there. Guess what? Each one of us has a guardian angel that we got when we were a child. Now, I really don't see the purpose of a guardian angel leaving once you got grown up. Do you? I think they're still with us. I had the privilege when I was about 8 years old to see my guardian angel. I was getting ready to go down into the basement, and all of a sudden this big man form stood right in the doorway with this long white robe. And as a child, I wasn't afraid. I was just excited, and I was running to get my dad to tell him, you know. Of course, by the time we got back there, the angel was gone. But, you know, that's something that each one of us has, whether we see him or not. They're there to help us in all sorts of ways. And I mean, even today, even this week, my husband had an experience. It had to be an angel helping. I mean, there was this car coming down out of his driveway, backing up, and he couldn't stop with the snow and ice. And my husband was right here, and the driveway was right here. And he said, I was going to be T-boned. He said, I don't know how it happened, but when I looked back, I mean, he was actually looking into the eyes of the guy, and the guy was looking into the eyes of him. Next thing he knew, the guy was behind him. Now, you tell me there wasn't an angel there helping? I've had him stop us instantly where we should have, you know, run into somebody. So they're there to help us. So when we think we're all alone, well, I don't think we're all alone. For one thing, we have Jesus within us, right? Plus these mighty big angels. I mean, the ones that I've seen have been big. They could take on anybody, I think. So, you know, I mean, Jesus wanted us to have help. He knew we're human, right? He knew our frailty. He knew what we needed. And so, not to just magnify angels, it's to magnify Jesus, that he cared so much, and God the Father, they cared so much they made all this provision. But he wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe in his word. If we could see it all the time, we wouldn't have to trust. Oh, my angel's there, you know. Well, thank God that the angel's there. Hallelujah. So now we're going to talk a little bit more about the birth of Christ. So as a sign and a wonder, the first thing that happened was this angel Gabriel went to announce the birth of John to Zacharias. Now God had picked this couple who was a little bit older, and they had been believing for a child, didn't have this child, and they were righteous before God. They lived their lives holy. He was a priest, and they were blameless. They followed the law. And so God sent the angel Gabriel and told him, he says, your prayers are answered. You're going to have a child. And this child's going to be, you know, the forerunner of Christ. So That was the first thing an angel was announcing, the birth of our Christ. And guess what? He didn't leave Jesus on his own just to come in. He sent help. He sent his cousin. Help! Then we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1, if you can turn over there for me. Next, about 6 months later, we see the angel Gabriel coming to visit the Virgin Mary. We're going to start in verse 26 there. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." What a greeting. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Isn't that awesome? "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Can you say that with me? "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, and let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I want you to pick up one thing there. Mary consented. The Holy Spirit did not force himself upon her. She gave her consent. And the Holy Spirit is always a gentleman. He's not going to force any one of us to do anything that we don't want to do. It takes faith. So Mary had faith enough to say, "Just be, let it be whatever you said." And this is quite an awesome scripture here. We see a picture of somebody who really has great faith. For a young person just to so totally trust God and to say, "Whatever, you know, you want to do, I'm willing, I'm a vessel." So now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judea, and entered through the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Isn't that amazing? Here are some powerful verses. I actually have these on my my bathroom mirror. Because most scriptures, promises, are written with the word he. These ones are specifically she. Of course, you can put your he in there if you want. But with God, nothing will be impossible. And blessed is he or she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to you from the Lord. So anything you see in this scripture that says it's supposed to follow, you know, us, then you can say yes, because I see it, it's told to me, I believe it, so it will be fulfilled. And you'll see a little bit more why I'm stressing that a little bit later. But another interesting thing, both of these women were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they both began to prophesy right away. Elizabeth did, Mary did. Mary started singing, singing a song. And you should read that sometime. It's just really, really good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're going to continue on with what's occurring here. We're going to go to Matthew 1. You can kind of keep your finger between Matthew and Luke here. You don't mind listening to the story again, do you? You haven't gotten tired of it yet, have you? Okay, so Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that kind of tell you that she didn't even talk to Joseph about it when she went to visit Elizabeth? I mean, she made haste and went. And then she was found with child. Well, she spent 3 months with Elizabeth. So by the time she comes back, it's getting evident now, here she is expecting a child. And of course, Joseph, not being privy to all this, is like, oh dear, my betrothed is expecting a child. It wasn't me. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, how could he believe that she was a virgin going to have a baby? That's not heard of. So, you know, she's kind of flipped a little bit here. And so we'll just put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord, here comes another angel, appeared to him in a dream. Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Tells us the purpose of why he's coming. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Do you see that as soon as he woke up, he did what the Lord said. He didn't wait till the next day or anything else. He immediately took her as his wife. He was very quick to obey what the angel of the Lord had said. This is something very interesting about Joseph, because how many men would, want to take on somebody who they had no idea who this child was? But an angel of the Lord spoke, and he believed. So we're going to... We're going to go to Luke 2 again. Back to Luke. You still with me? So we see that angel gave reassurance and direction to Joseph. So that's one of the duties of an angel, right? To reassure us, tell us not to be afraid, tell us what to do. Okay, and in this second chapter, verse 1, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Now, this is interesting. I'm going to kind of skip over some of this. But it took God using an ungodly ruler to get Joseph and Mary down to Bethlehem, where the prophecy was, where the Christ would come, right? So verse 4, so Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We see that God himself stripped himself of every worldly thing that we would think that would be necessary to bring a king into the world. And he took the humble, the lowly, the poor, and he decided to bring his gift, the Savior of the world, through the lowest possible means to show us that it doesn't matter where we start from. Amen? Amen. Each and every one of us, God has a plan and a purpose for us. So it doesn't matter what our beginning is. It matters where our end is. Okay? Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now these are the workers that are lowest that they think of. I mean, they didn't even get to go to their house at night to sleep. They had to stay out in the fields with the animals and take care of them. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's what God wanted to announce to the world. Guess who celebrated the first birth of Jesus? It was God. He threw this big birthday party. He sent his angels to light up the sky and to tell the world. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Who would have thought to look for a baby in a manger? Especially if they're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And suddenly there was with this angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. There were too many angels to even count. They didn't say, oh, there's 10,000 out there. No, they said there's this great multitude. I mean, they could have told us how many. But they wanted you to see there was so many that you wouldn't even be able to count them. There are so many of them. And all of them came to announce. I bet you it looked like daylight out there with all those angels. And you notice here, here's God's gift to us. He's saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And I thank God for Andrew Womack. I'm getting this that, okay, this isn't peace among men. This is peace towards men. You know, we talk about peace on earth, and we're supposed to be loving and kind to one another. Well, yeah, we're supposed to do that. But that's not what this is saying. It's saying, God is saying, I'm giving you my son so you can have peace with me. Amen? It's God loving us. It's not us loving one another. It doesn't start that way. It starts God loving us. And when we have the love of God in us, then we can love others. You can't love others if you don't have the love of God in you. And I specifically reached a point in my life, as a Christian, I had burnt myself out. And I just told the Lord, Lord, I don't have any love in me anymore to be able to give to anybody. I can't give any more love. Because I was trying to do myself, really. I mean, sure, I had the Lord with me, but I knew I was supposed to love one another. But you know, after you've been hurt so many times, you just reach this point where, forget it. I don't have anything to give anybody. It's all been used up. Well, I had to learn that I don't have to do anything to love. It's not a work. You see, it's got to come from within you. When God fills you with his love, because God is love, it's easy. Because all you do is let him out. let him talk to people. Let him be your voice. Hallelujah. All we have to do is make ourselves available. And he does the rest. Now, it does take faith on our part. We have to listen and be obedient. But praise God, I didn't know I was going to say that. So it was, verse 15, we'll get back to the scripture here. So it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem. See that? They right away. They did what they were told. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now see, if they had stopped and thought about it, they would say, oh, I must have been crazy. That didn't happen. Angels don't just appear in the sky and talk to us. Must have been we had some bad meat or something. But no, they didn't reason it out. With haste, they got up and they went to see this thing. And so God rewarded them and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Guess what? I bet you just about everybody in Bethlehem found out, because it was a small town. There's a lot of people, but guess how word of mouth goes? And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary just kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard, that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. So here's these poor little shepherds out there with the sheep, and they get to witness the birth of the Savior. Isn't that something? they had the best gift of all, to be able to go see the master of the universe and to be right there at his beginning here on earth. Oh, isn't that awesome? So let's not think that our humble state that we're in, that something spectacular can't happen for you. Okay. So here we see the angels brought tidings of great joy, and they were announcing God's plan to the whole earth. Now we're going to go back to Matthew, second chapter. We're going to see the wise men now, trying to read this as it, you know, progresses and happens here. Chapter 2 and verse 1 through 15. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who had been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, isn't this interesting that these kings came all the way from the east? And it's thought that they came from Persia. Well, Daniel had been a prisoner in Persia, remember? And he became leader over the magi, or the magicians, or the wise men that they were concerned. And he had revelation of Christ being born. So, guess what? These guys were most probably descendants of the ones that Daniel had taught all these things to. They were more aware of what was happening than the Jews, the scribes and Pharisees in those days. Isn't that amazing? And they believed it. So then Herod, the king, heard this. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Then he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, and he inquired where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" So here we see a town that basically was considered the least of the towns. It wasn't a very big town. But he says, you're not going to be the least, because the ruler's coming out of you. So whether you're a person or a town, you may not be the least, even though you're small. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. You'll find out later that it was almost 2 years. And so he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." You know, we always see the picture of the wise men at the manger, but they didn't come to the manger. They actually came to a house with a young child. See that? It said young child there. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, and not in the barn or manger any longer, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream, that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So here in a dream, another sign and wonder, they were told go a different way. So then we see, as if we keep reading, that Joseph has another dream. And he's told to take the child and the mother and go down to Egypt. So what did Joseph do? Immediately, he got them together and they departed. Didn't wait around to see if it was true. That would have been a little late, wouldn't it? So immediately, he got up. So here was, we see an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. Another angel on assignment. Praise God. See, God has all kinds of ways to help us. If we just believe and trust in him, he's going to help us. He'll make a way. He got Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, and they didn't realize they were supposed to be there, but they were obedient. God will get you where you need to be, okay? Just trust him. You yield yourself to him, he'll make sure you're in the right place at the right time. It takes a little bit of the struggle out. You know, we always try to figure out everything. I think God cares enough for us to make sure we're at the right place at the right time. We're not going to lose out, okay? I know sometimes I've thought, God, all these things that, you know, I think is supposed to be happening and I don't see them happening. Well, maybe it's not time yet. But I'm getting old, Lord. Well, I guess Elizabeth thought she was getting old. Oh, praise the Lord. You don't mind me having a good time, do you? I enjoy when I speak. I just feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. And when I have a chance to speak, it's just so awesome to let the Holy Spirit just speak and talk and just have fun. If you can't have fun, don't. Do it. That's part of my idea. Okay. So anyway, that was at the birth of Christ. Then we see Jesus throughout his ministry, angels came and ministered to him. And I know I could read more and more and more scripture, but I'm going to give you some scripture if you want to look up. I may read some more, but We saw that when Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he was led out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and the devil severely tempted him. They list like three categories, but within those three is basically everything that we would be tempted with. And, you know, right from the beginning, he tried to sidetrack Jesus from the ministry that he had. But Jesus passed the test, and afterwards, the angels came and ministered to him. You know that when you're going through test and trial, it takes a lot out of you, right? There's a lot of stuff going on inside, and it takes a lot of energy. And so God has to send someone, you know, his word, his angels, to strengthen us and help us go on. We can get up and keep going. So in Luke 22, verses 42 and 43, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, here he was pouring out his soul to the Lord. And he was saying, Lord, you know, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I mean, but not my will, but yours be done. He was praying a prayer of consecration to God. And so after, we see that the angels come and strengthen him. Because here he was getting ready to go and die on the cross. I mean, I think that would be a little hard for anyone. So he needed some strength to be able to go through this. Then afterwards, we see the angels come at the tomb and rolled away the stone. I mean, that was a massive big stone that took quite a few men to put in front of that. And one angel could just come and roll it away. Just think about that. And then at the ascension, let's turn to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at that part. Praise the Lord. We're going to start at verse 7 through 11. And Jesus had been talking to the disciples. They've been asking him questions. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven." So here is our hope. He's coming back again. And the angels announced it again. He's coming. He's going to come back. He's not going to leave you. So here they were announcing the hope that we have. Hallelujah. Notice that it says, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He doesn't expect us to have that power, that strength on our own. He doesn't expect us to do the Great Commission on our own. He's given us power and authority through the Holy Spirit. But it takes the Holy Spirit empowering us. And so he was telling them, "I'm going to send you another helper. Not only do you have angels that will come along and help you, but now I'm giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit with the signs and wonders that pass, you know, that come along with the Holy Spirit." If we turn to Mark, just going to read a little bit here. We're almost finished. Okay, Mark, I've got to find it. I want you to turn over there with me. Mark chapter 16. And of course, Mark chapter 16 tells you a little bit more about the angels there. But if we start at verse 15, he said unto them, this is the Great Commission, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." This is a sign that Jesus said that he would work with us and he would do. It's not us doing it, it's the Holy Spirit, right? That signs and wonders would follow us. And we should expect those signs and wonders. If we don't have faith that God is going to do for us what he says, then we're not going to see those things happening in our lives. But if we have faith and believe, it says that it will be done according to what his word says. If we are having confidence in his word and we're speaking forth his word, then he will confirm his word. So we see that the angels have not finished their work, right? They've still got work to do. And Hebrews 1 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? They are sent by God to minister for us. I've not found anywhere in Scripture that says we can command the angels, which I have seen some people do. It says that we are supposed to make our request unto God, and he gives them the assignments. Okay? Now, Jesus said on the, you know, I mean, it was told about Jesus that he could have called 10,000 angels to take him off the cross, to save him from that death. But he chose not to, so that he could be the sacrifice for us. Now, in my mind, if he had called on those angels, he would have had to do it as God. See, we don't command the angels. But as God, he could have called the angels to rescue him. But he chose to not take his Godhead and call the angels. He chose to be a human and go all the way through the cross to provide salvation for us. Amen? So when we pray and we talk to God and we tell him our need and the things that we have, he's going to send those angels on assignment to take care of us. If we're believing his word, we're all of our provision. We're, you know, we are believing in the sacrifice that Jesus did for us, then it's not something we are doing. It's God that's making the way. He's having the Holy Spirit help us. He's having the angels go out and do assignments. So we're challenged to complete the work that Jesus had on this earth. We see the Great Commission to go out. It might be just your neighbor. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it is to go to Africa or somewhere else. But he'll let you know. You won't have to doubt when he calls you. You'll know. You'll know that you know that you know. And he said that if we go forth and we speak forth his word, that these signs and wonders will follow us. So anytime you have a need, believe God. Believe that God's going to answer. Because he is faithful. He is going to answer. He's the God that answers. He's not the God that ignores. Okay? He loves us. He cares for us.